Time for Dial a Doc, brought to you by FHN in Freeport. Joining us now, Margie Kochmeyer, MSN, RN, CMSRN, and CIC, infection preventionist, clinical quality and professional development. Lots of stuff behind your name, Rosie, or Margie. Nice to have you with us today. Margie Kochmeyer, good morning.
Thank you.
Lots of things to talk about today, and we're in the middle of flu season. And the pandemic continuing strongly at this time, Margie. So first of all, can you define flu for us as it relates to flu season?
The flu that we talk about at this time of the year is not the stomach flu. It's the seasonal influenza illness. Influenza is a viral illness. It's the virus that we take our seasonal flu shot every year to help protect us. It causes those respiratory symptoms of cough, fever, and body aches.
What are some of the symptoms of both the COVID-19 and the flu that are similar?
You know, sometimes it's challenging to determine if someone has influenza or COVID because some of the symptoms of COVID resemble influenza. Fever, chills, cough, muscle aches, congestion or runny nose are common between COVID and influenza.
So do you treat them, definitely not in a similar way, but how do you know which one it is?
Well, there's been so many different presentations for COVID. Not everybody has every symptom.
Yes.
So we have to test. That's the only way that we can tell sometimes. So we have a test that can test for either influenza or COVID or both together.
And you maybe kind of touched on this, but what symptoms are different?
Yeah, like I said, there's so many different presentations for this virus. The symptoms are not exactly the same in two people. So many of the people that have COVID have reported a new loss of taste or smell. That typically doesn't happen when someone has influenza. We're seeing more shortness of breath or difficulty breathing with COVID. We don't typically see that with influenza. Some are even having GI symptoms of nausea and vomiting with COVID. COVID's also caused some blood clotting issues and some heart involvement. Sometimes the only way to know if it's influenza or COVID is to test the person.
Have you run into where you get the same family, maybe a husband and a wife or a mom and a kid, and they both have COVID and they have totally different symptoms?
Many times. And we do contact tracing, so we see many family members. You know, there's some family members that need to be hospitalized while others can manage at home.
Have you found, too, that it doesn't hit everybody in the family? Will it skip over some people?
We have. Yes, we have. And that's so odd. And, you know, in kids, they potentially could have it and be carriers and just not show the symptoms. But a lot of times when we test families, there's so many of them that have it. So we try to tell them to try to distance themselves from other family members. And we've seen not everybody get it.
Do some people that don't get it, are they more of a carrier than someone that has it, or is it pretty even?
Repeat that again.
Two people in a family get it and a third doesn't get it. Does that third person, are they more contagious or could they spread
they
it easier?
They could be an asymptomatic carrier. So if they've been exposed, we usually will test them. We wait several days because we want to test somebody at the right time when their viral load is highest.
When should someone come in to be tested for each or both, and what symptoms should drive that decision?
If somebody has any symptoms of COVID, you know, the fever, the cough, the loss of taste or smell, they really should be tested. And especially if those symptoms occur after exposure to someone who has tested positive. There's a test that we said that can check for both. But most of the time, if somebody's been in contact with a COVID positive person and develops symptoms, we will test them for COVID, not so much for flu.
We're talking with Margie Kochmeyer today, infection preventionist, clinical quality and professional development at FHN and Dial-A-Doc today. Now, how do you test for each of these, both the flu and the COVID-19, and are the tests completely different, Margie?
Tests for COVID and influenza involve collection with a nasal swab. The PCR test is the most sensitive. So a nasal swab is inserted into each nostril, and the swab actually has to touch the back of the throat. The swab is rotated, and what it does is it collects cells and fluids along the passageway from the nose to the back of the throat. And the test can pick up traces of the genetic material in coronavirus, so it's pretty sensitive. There's also throat swabs. It's less invasive, but also less sensitive than the swab test. You're also going to hear of saliva specimen tests that are being studied right now, and the preliminary data on that looks promising, but it's too early to say whether or not that will be used. And then you're going to hear about home tests right now that are being advertised, where someone can gather their own specimen and then they ship it to a testing facility. While it sounds appealing, the quality and the reliability of the home test is still unknown. So for now, it is best to have specimens collected by trained medical professionals with testing done at certified labs.
That was going to be my next question. So a good idea to make sure you go to someone that knows exactly what they're doing. Can someone have the flu and the COVID-19 at the same time?
People can have both flu and COVID because they're different viruses. The health of the person a lot of times can be a factor in how severe those symptoms can be and how critical the illness becomes for them. Adults of any age with certain medical conditions such as cancer, chronic kidney disease, COPD, obesity, diabetes, smokers, or pregnant women puts them more at risk for severe illness from the virus that causes COVID-19. But we have seen healthy people that have become severely ill with this virus. Because it's so new, we're not really sure what long-term effects are going to be on this. So we're going to have to continue to watch it.
I'm guessing with this going on, you can turn a negative into a positive. And I'm guessing you talk with other people in your profession. Margie, do you find that a lot of the data being collected now and held and research being done now, that some of this will help in the future for other diseases that might come along or that type of thing? I would think it gives a good basis for doing some incredible research.
I think so. And, you know, we go back to SARS, and we learned so much from that. In fact, there was vaccine that had been started from that was picked up for this pandemic. So we learn with each thing, but, you know, this has been a very unusual disease. And like I said, it's presented itself so differently. It's not like we typically see with the disease where there are certain symptoms and everybody kind of follows the same thing. So it's really going to take a lot of study, and it's probably going to take years for us to learn, you know, what is happening with this virus.
But indeed, science, very important. There's a new strain I've read that might be in the United Kingdom right now. Any word on that? Things you've heard is, I assume, a different strain that kind of developed?
There are two different strains in the United Kingdom, and some of them have made their way to the United States. And the good news about that is that the vaccine from Pfizer and Moderna, they are thinking, as they've studied this, that it is going to cover those two strains. So vaccination is going to be so important to be covered for those strains. They're not sure how long you will have immunity after vaccination, but for right now, they're thinking about 6 months.
Are you satisfied with Illinois' rollout of the COVID-19 shots?
Oh, absolutely. I think we have gotten vaccine as quickly as we can. As soon as we get it, we use all of it up, and we're trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible because we know that once we can get about 80% of the population vaccinated, we will start to see this pandemic slow down and maybe get back to some kind of a regular lifestyle.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be very nice.
I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but how many COVID-19 patients have been treated at FHN?
We've had a total of 311 COVID patients between March and December of 2020. Now, those are inpatients. We've treated many patients as outpatients. We have seen some people that have had both COVID and the flu at the same time, but we have been able to treat many of these patients outside of the hospital.
Well, that's fantastic, and actually some good experience that you've had, some with both, so now you've been through that. How does this year's flu season compare to a normal year, if you will, and is it too late to get a flu shot?
There's no normal years for influenza. Depending on the circulating strain and the number of people who get vaccinated, it somewhat guides how the flu season is going to be for us. So last year we saw about a 50-50 mix of strain A and strain B of the flu. And we usually see the flu start in November or December and continue through April some years. Last year, we had a total of 570 positive flu cases. And last year, on this date, we were already at 119. We have had one positive through our lab this year.
All right. And what can people do to keep both the flu and the COVID-19 at bay?
I think the COVID pandemic has proved that keeping distance and protecting ourselves from sick people really works. Keeping those high-touch surfaces wiped down. So you see that stores are wiping the cart handles down. We've known for a long time that was a high-touch surface out in public. Restaurants are starting to go to single-serve items like ketchup and mustard and salt and pepper packs rather than shared containers that everybody touches. Good hand hygiene with soap and water is also proving, and hand sanitizers proving to work to keep people healthy. But most of all, follow what is being told to us right now, avoiding the crowds, wearing the mask until we can get 80% of the population vaccinated so that we can put this pandemic behind us.
Talking with Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist at FHN and Dial-A-Doc today. And Margie, any professional opinion on maybe when we can hit that 80%?
As soon as everyone gets out there and gets vaccinated, and it's going to take two vaccines. So when you get vaccinated with Moderna in 28 days, you have to return for that second dose in order for it to give you 95% effectiveness. So just go out and get vaccinated. Follow what you're doing right now. And hopefully by spring or summer, we will be enjoying some time together again.
Yeah, well, then we hope we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've made it this far. For folks out there that have been doing it the right way, you've been doing it this long, just keep up and we will see the end. For folks that are curious out there, Margie, where can people find out more about COVID-19 and the flu?
You can visit the FHN.org website. We have information on the site about influenza and COVID. But you should really be keeping up what is going on in Illinois with the flu and COVID on the Illinois Department of Public Health website. And you can also visit the CDC website as well.
We've been talking with Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist, clinical quality and professional development at FHN and Dial-A-Doc today. Margie, great talking with you. Good luck in getting a shot and everybody. And look forward to talking to you next time, okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Margie Kochmeyer, that's Dial-A-Doc.